Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro, and on the show this week, you've got Mark Navarro, Jimmy Skinner, and myself. What are we masturbating? We are debating who came up with the best erotic fan fiction based on horror characters only. This is Jimmy's brainchild, ladies and gentlemen. He thought, wouldn't it be fun to get horny, to get sweaty, to get a little hot, get a little 50 Shades of something on The Real Debaters. So we had to pick a female character, a male character, and a location, all from the horror genre, and come up with a little bit of something steamy for you. So we've got the Overlook Hotel. We even have vehicles for people who love inanimate objects. It's a perverted episode this week. Finally, we got to it 177 episodes later. So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. Before I carry on, I want to thank Winnipeg Comic Con and everybody there. Jason, your wife Julia, I believe is her name. If I forgot it, I'm so sorry. Thank you for making it so easy for us. We got to do media this year and talk to Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall. We got to talk to Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario. All of these things will be on the Comic-Con episode once it gets printed and done and dusted later on this month. So tune in for that. So thank you for letting us get there and have all these cool passes and all this great access. Pamela Roz, thank you so much for taking every single email I sent you to make sure we knew what we were doing, because you let us in. Man, that was a risk. Besides that, thank you to the fans that came out to both panels, the one we did with DJ Burnt Bannock and Darcy Waite. That was a lot of fun to talk to everybody about his brainchild and the awesome show that DJ Burnt Bannock is. If you haven't watched it yet, check it out. It's on APTN Lumi. It's only like $3.99 or $5.99 a month to stream to that service. So go get your indigenous film and TV shows on. Tons of great stuff in there. Lots of genre if you're a big genre freak. And then, our panel, our fans. Thank you so much for coming out and listening to us masturbate for you, for your listening pleasure. If you missed it, down the pipe, we will have which horror character, legacy horror character, should, could, or would be a wrestler. That's coming later on in November as well with those interviews as previously mentioned. I think I got it all. If I forgot you, I'm very sorry. I'm very bad at this stuff. If you know me, you know me. Anyways, that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. Thank you to everybody. We much appreciate it. I've got nothing else for you. So here it comes. 50 Shades of Something Perverted with Martin, Jimmy, and myself. I'll cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film. 1,000 feet. 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to the Real Debaters podcast. Welcome to the place that asks that question, what happens when real life meets real life? I'm one of your hosts, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I'm just Jimmy today. What are you doing, man?
I'm still pumped off the fucking movie, man. All I want to do is rip aliens in half. Who's in Vancouver?
It was great.
I am Gloop Shitto.
Glute Shitto?
Gloop, G-I-U-P, Shitto.
I see.
Which characters?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, we'll get to it?
Star Wars, when I talk about my what did I watch.
All right.
It's a big part of the Star Wars, Star Wars universe.
So hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, listener. Hello, dedicated fan. Hello, cinephiles. We have a second Halloween-themed debate for you. And it seems that this month we've decided to get very experimental. Previously, our other Halloween debate was crypto. I haven't heard anything good or bad from that from
That's
anybody.
Right.
So I guess maybe,
sometimes no news is good news, Michael.
I think it's great news.
I believe it to be true. So maybe we nailed it. Maybe we didn't. This one, Jimmy, I'm going to just sit back and let you drive for a second and tell the good folks what they're about to listen to today.
All right. Well, the idea today stems from, you guys understand how fan fiction is important, but it's always awful.
Yes.
Now, my favorite kinds of fan fiction are when people get way too horny with it. Like, have you guys seen those? You guys know the
Twilight.
Exactly. Like Twilight. That's how Twilight began.
I think you're right.
Have you guys seen Supernatural? You know about Supernatural,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, some people like to take the liberties with that show and maybe make the brothers have sex with each other.
Okay.
And I think, well, we could do that. We could create fan fiction where horror meets maybe horny.
Sure.
Yeah.
A double H.
So
it's
we're
always a thing in horror movies.
That's right.
It really is. And the underlying tone of a lot of films is fucking horror films.
It's crossover fan fiction erotica.
Exactly.
Well, didn't they say like horror, watching horror movies makes you horny? Because it's just like that fear of death.
I've heard that as well.
Appropriate.
I've heard that too, actually. Like, it gets your adrenaline going. It heightens the senses, right?
It heightens all the senses as when you're trying to bang.
Sure. Okay, maybe
that's what it does.
Maybe that's why Texas Chainsaw Massacre gives me a raging hard on.
Well, we're going to watch, you're at home going to listen and maybe watch Three Men Write Erotica today.
Which none of us have before.
Nope.
I don't think.
No. Secretly.
No. I'm slightly embarrassed.
Michael's
about,
got some journals.
There's pages are stuck together. No
diaries.
Doubt.
They're diaries.
They're manifestos.
Dear Superman.
In my erotica, I am Superman. Yes.
Manifesto of a wimpy kid.
As I was writing this out, I was typing words, and then I was like, I tried to find synonyms, right? Like that scene in, 10 Things I Hate About You, where she goes to the guidance counselor who's writing an erotic novel.
Yeah.
She's like, what's another word for turd or stiff?
And what does she say?
I think it's turgid or something. And I tried to do that with this, and then I just got
phallic.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Phallic.
My erotica is so like grade 9 dude style because have no idea what to do. I'm looking very forward to to sharing my erotica with two very close friends that are happen to be dudes. So
yeah.
What were the
rules? I think my erotica can be enjoyed by the whole family.
That's a label.
Mine's an erotic thriller.
Mine is somebody finding themselves after something seriously horrible has happened to them.
Michael's is going to be the least horny.
Yeah. Hey, man, if I have to take a break and go, you know, take care of business, I'm not afraid to do it.
Like, yeah.
And this,
he's going to go behind that curtain.
Yeah.
Right behind Jimmy.
Right behind Jimmy.
No one knows what's back there.
That is the gratification room.
When we get very popular, people are going to start asking you what's back there, Michael.
Yeah. I mean, I can show them, but...
That'll be the...
His journals of erotica.
It is. And the gimp from Pulp Fiction. That's his home. That's where he goes to go. Anyway, so that's what's on the show this week for you, ladies and gentlemen.
He slides down a pole, and because he's not, it's just leather, so it's so hard to slide.
He just gets stuck. That pole is covered in baby powder to move. And what did we have? The very loose criteria was a place.
Yeah, you need a horror location, you need a horror villain, and you need a horror hero.
Exactly. And so
we took this from Team Tiger Awesome. Not the whole thing, but mostly the idea.
The idea came from Team Tiger Awesome.
Go listen to their show. They're so much fun. They do a lot of erotica. They do Patriotica around Independence Day. That's a lot of fun.
You were telling me all about this, and I listened to the Avengers Rear End Game episode.
Right. Like it's Avengers Erotica.
It's Avengers Erotica. It very much is. And it was fun too because like I kind of skipped through it, so I went from like he's covered in lube to oh my god, how is he in there? And I was like, this is fun.
There's like two women in the Avengers. Is that like weird?
No, it's not a gangbang. It was like Cap and who?
Well, you'll see from mine, Martin, that you don't even need women.
Yeah. We're not afraid to love inanimate objects on The Real Debaters, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
I just wanted equal casting. You know?
I want equal representation?
Yeah, I want equal representation.
You're going to get it. So let's take it off the street and jump onto the screen.
What'd you watch, Michael?
Before we get into what you watched, can I do a quick announcement?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, Martin has a quick announcement. If you're in Vancouver... Next month, I will be hosting my own monthly comedy show.
Fuck yeah.
At the Clue Club in Gastown.
Fuck
November 13th is our first show. We have Chris Griffin headlining.
Wow.
We have a bunch of other good comedians on the show, so come down.
Good job, buddy. Fuck
stage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, new monthly show coming.
You know what? Yeah, Jimmy, and you're doing new faces right now here at We Johnny's, right?
I am.
So there's two major things in one great city.
Chris Griffin's a great get, too, Martin. Nice work.
Oh, yeah. I worked with Chris Griffin before, so I was like...
That's going to be a good show.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Some street life for you.
When's the date?
November.
November 13th.
November 13th. Yeah.
It'll be the middle of the month. Like, probably the second week of every month, I think. It's a Sunday.
Definitely tell you that Jimmy will be doing... What is it? What are you doing at Laughs at Gaffs again? October 28th.
That's the 29th.
29th, sorry. Yep. Yeah, same
but
day
as next week. I don't think this will be out.
It will be.
It actually. Will be. Okay.
It'll be the first time we're actually rolling within a week. So,
all right.
Yeah, we've cleared the chamber and all of the backlog is out now that we got those commentaries from the summer out finally.
That's true. So, if you listen to this, come to that.
What was that?
We have emptied our pipes.
We have.
That's right.
Speaking of erotica.
Yeah. We're getting really busy.
We are. So follow the show. Follow everybody's social media, and you'll always know. If you're in Vancouver and you want to see some stand-up, there's Martin shit. If you're in Winnipeg and you want to see us live, that's how you follow there. When Martin comes back home.
We're planning a lot more live things.
We are.
Just keep an eye out.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. The live shows are the most fun, I think.
So, what did I watch this week,
Jimmy? What'd you watch this week?
All right. Well, considering I started by introducing myself as Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you and I went to go see Black Adam this past week. And
not to jump in, but what'd you give it out of 10?
I gave it an 8.
Let's start with that. Okay, great.
Ooh, an 8.
I gave it an 8.
I was leaning 7, but you go.
Mostly, I said it to Jimmy in the theater as the credits were rolling. I said, that's the closest thing WB has made to a Warner Brothers movie yet.
Yeah.
And it paces well. It pulls from other movies, Martin. There's through lines through the Suicide Squad and whatnot that they're trying.
They're bringing it all together.
They are really trying to build a universe.
And
with
The Rock
this.
Said this is the jumping point, even though they're like 6 movies in.
And they've said that 6 times before.
Yeah, this is the launching point now.
He's great in the costume. He's very stoic.
He looks great. Yeah.
He's very, like he has no real qualms with the people of Earth. He just doesn't want to be bothered by anybody. He's an anti-hero who becomes a hero,
yep.
I guess is a really great way to tell the story. The Hawkman, the guy who played Hawkman,
fantastic.
His name eludes me right now, Aldis Hodge, I think yep. his name is. He was fucking killer. Like the Justice Society, the Pierce Brosnan, Aldis Hodge, the girl who played Cyclone and Adam Smasher, like it was a build the team movie. It was an origin story. It was good versus bad. It was a lot of different.
Pierce Brosnan, yeah.
Pierce Brosnan nailed it as Dr. Fate. Like, really does a solid job. And it's fun to see.
Go see it, Martin. Like, it's worth a watch for sure.
It is. It's a theater watch. It wouldn't be as fun at home just because the soundtrack. They actually do what Marvel does, where they pull classic rock tunes
and throw them in.
They are getting it. And I think he had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
I really did. I think he was like, if you want to do this with me.
Well, this is 15 years in the making, right?
Pretty much.
They've been asking him to do so many other superheroes, and he kept saying no because this is the one he wanted, and I think he got it.
You saw Shazam too, right, Martin?
I like Shazam. Shazam's good.
Okay, so for all the fans of Shazam rooted in.
How are they going to fight? Like, I can't even imagine Shazam in their universe right now having a fight with.
No.
Like, that just completely insane.
The cool thing is the wizards from. Like, I haven't seen Shazam, but I caught this because the trailer for the new Shazam was before it.
I can't believe you haven't seen Shazam.
I know. I don't know why. What's his name, Zach?
He was Chuck.
Efron.
Was that Martin?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Zach Efron.
What? But like, I just.
Zachary Quinto.
Zachary Quinto, thank you. it's the wrong one. But I just. It was a kid movie to a hero movie. The kid thing, I don't really.
You grew up watching these Steven Spielberg-ass 80s movies, watching little kids find themselves, and Shazam's not for you.
It's
very
they
true.
Made
it's
it for you.
Yeah, no,
it
I
wasn't
guess
avant-garde right. enough for Mike.
That's right.
I'm too cynical and jaded to see through the mind of a child in a film now, I think. So, like, if I skipped the first half and got right to him as a hero, I think I'd like it more. But I understand that he changes back and forth. Like, that's his power. Anyways, the wizards from Shazam that give him his power are the same wizards that gave Black Adam his power. So Black Adam is like the best Shazam character of them all because it's the same lightning bolt.
Yeah.
It took me a minute to catch that. Anyways, 8 out of 10. The action beats are great.
He's a Marvel guy. Forgive him.
I want to be a DC guy, and this is a reason for me to.
That's why I loved it. These are some of my favorite characters finally getting shown on screen, and they're not doing it in a bad way.
Do you know the humor that Batista brings to
Drax
is the same humor that The Rock brought to Black Adam?
Absolutely.
Very misunderstood. I'm from a different world. Like there's a bit where they're going back and forth and he was like, that's sarcasm. And then he actually like nails sarcasm, but it's not sarcasm. It's something like it's just this misunderstood odd couple shit going on.
I'm excited to see where they go.
So am I. And the end credit trailer, I don't want to ruin it for anybody out there, but it's
don't ruin it.
Pretty
don't ruin
badass.
It.
There's
I'll
another.
I'll watch it. I'll
Martin,
watch it.
There's another cameo in there that I think you'll like too.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want, like, this is giving us closer to that Snyder fucking universe.
That's
where
right.
Everything's
it feels more like it, yeah.
That's what I want. I want that. Give me that.
I love these movies because the violence feels real. And
it
that's
did.
Been my problem with the Marvel movies. The violence never feels real. It doesn't seem like anybody's actually
hurt. Oh, the Peacemaker.
Until
the violence
Doctor
is
Strange.
So real in Peacemaker.
Yeah, Peacemaker. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah.
And there's a great cameo from Peacemaker in it too, actually.
I know who it is. I saw it online.
Okay.
I feel like with these DC movies, they could kill off a character and not bring him back.
They could. George R. R. Martin that shit. Just get
Adam
us invested.
Beach.
They did, actually, right?
I want him back. Bring
I want
back
Adam Beach back.
Slipknot.
Can you have Adam Beach back, please?
I was so excited when he got cast and they killed him 15 minutes in.
Bring Beach back.
Bring back Beach.
Bring back Beach. The triple B. We're going to launch that campaign here. Because he's from Winnipeg, ladies and gentlemen. We might as well.
Yeah,
you
know,
we
bring
should
Adam
be the
Beach back.
We love our Adam
what
Beach.
What was his character? That's how much
Slipknot.
I know.
Slipknot. Yeah.
They slipped him right out of that scene.
Yep. Yes, they did. He tried to escape, blew his head off. James Gunn just did such a better job.
Oh yeah,
it's such. I watched it the other day again. It's
fantastic.
The whole bit of Peacemaker and Bloodshot.
Now imagine a crew like that trying to stop Black Adam.
That's what I hope for.
I think that's why she sent in the Justice Society.
Or they make a crew with Black Adam and he leads it. Imagine that.
Who knows?
So many possibilities.
Limitless.
Jimmy, I think we're going to have to go back on DC Heroes, and Ice Boyo is going to have to make an appearance.
Oh, boy.
Again.
Isn't that cross-platform?
It is. I think
Michael,
it is.
You could play that, too.
What game is it?
DC Online.
Oh, sweet. I'll play that.
You make your own hero? And you...
Fuck yeah.
It's like World of Warcraft.
I'm totally down.
Yeah.
I'm totally down.
Ice Boyo needs some partners.
Ice Boyo.
I will, I'll give, and here's the thing, not one single rock eyebrow throughout the film. I watched for it.
He didn't do it.
He didn't do it, and I think he didn't do it because
this isn't about The Rock.
It isn't about The Rock, but that's too rooted in his real life shit. Like, when you see it on the screen from time to time, it's funny because it's remnant of The Rock in the ring, but he was so from another time, a different planet, Kondokt, another part of the world. It's set in a Middle Eastern time, or a Middle Eastern country. So, like, for him to do the eyebrow would break the fourth wall.
I don't even think Black Adam has eyebrows.
No. I don't think he has a neck. Anyways, 8 out of 10, no eyebrows from The Rock.
Yep.
For my get. Martin, what'd you watch this week?
I watched the Rogue One.
Rogue One, also known as Andor?
Yes, episode 7 of it. Well, just the whole series is great. I don't know if we talked about it.
We have, but you know what? We haven't really dug deep on it, so go away.
If you are a fan of Star Wars and want something different, this is for you. If you loved Rogue One, this is also for you. And if you didn't, it's still for you.
It is. Because you know what? You don't need to know a lot to understand what's happening.
Well, there's no magic. You know, there's no fucking, which I love. Don't get me wrong.
There's no Jedi lore. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no lightsabers, Jedi. There's no magic, any of that. It's just normal people trying to get by in the Star Wars universe.
Which is
great.
Yeah. And it's a heist thriller, too. Like, it's a spy.
It's Ocean's 11.
Heist
and
thriller.
It's dark. It's very dark. Like, it's just like, it's Han shot first dark, like darker than Han shot first. Now this is like Andor shoots first all the time.
Yeah, it's Andor great. Andor has a really dark past, Jimmy, that like Cassian Andor is the lead character, so that's why they call it Andor. I always think when I hear Andor, I think that's Andor's like moon planet.
Yeah, I keep
planet.
Thinking of a planet.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just his last name.
Diego but, Luna. Ugh.
To hit, you
so
know what?
Hot right now.
So hot. But to Martin's point, Diego Luna was like, I can make this character tell a lot more shit. And he's really taking the birth of the rebellion on his shoulders.
Okay.
And really tying the room together with his character being a great, like, true north point to find out where the rebellion started, why it started. You learn about all these planets. I'm sorry, I'm taking over for you, Martin.
That's okay. I mean, it's just, yeah, that's what it is. It's just that's what you learn. It's the beginning of the rebellion. The way it started, they go over the birth of the rebellion in like the Star Wars Rebel show, but it's basically, it's divided, it's fractured. There's not one rebellion. It's a bunch of different kind of cells doing their own thing.
Well, I heard a lot of Bothans died for this information.
A lot of Bothans did die for this information, which was so sad.
This is true.
I really like the girl they cast. I'm going to say it. I like the girl they cast play Mon Mothma. She's great too.
She's fantastic. She's from Ozark? No, she's not from. Where's she from?
I can't remember where she's from, but she's great.
Oh, you know what she's from? She's from the show Tin Cup with Tim Roth. It's an Amazon Prime show. It's about an English cop who comes to like northern Alberta.
I thought that was the Kevin Costner golf
yeah,
show.
Yeah, isn't that a golf movie with
no,
Kevin Costner?
Well, that's the 90s golf movie.
Why would they call it that?
Tin Star. My mistake. Not Cup. Tin Star. Anyways, go on, Martin.
Yeah, no, great. And then what's his name is in it?
Stalin.
Stellan Skarsgård's in it. He's dope as well.
Stalin.
This is great. Just great.
Everybody's it's when you see who inside the Empire couldn't carry on with the Empire's message and the breakaways who start to form the rebellion.
Oh, and my name Glup Shitto is basically like There's like a rumor on the internet, not a rumor, but like there's just a funny story on the internet going around saying like all the Star Wars names are just garbled garbage. So Glup Shitto was like the example of that. Like, yeah, that could be a Star Wars character, Glup Shitto, but
that could totally be a character.
He also like well, Diego Luna's character in this week uses like an alias, which is sort of similar to that, but it's a different name, but it just sounds like garbled mumbled garbage.
Burble burble.
It's not like a real name.
Rubble rubble.
Yeah.
So how many Bothans out of 10 died for this information?
Let's kill all of them. 10 of them. All 10.
This is a Bothan bloodbath. Okay. Another triple
B. You know what? I changed. Let's give it 9 3/4 and let's just take off a Bothan limb for that last one. One limb to tell the story of how good.
Because that's a quarter of a Bothan.
Exactly.
Quarter Bothan. Oh, the half Both.
Can I get the half Both dinner, please?
Two bedrooms, one half Both.
Two piece Bothan. Yeah, no, to his point, Andor is...
So is that a perfect 10? Is that on the ace list then?
That, yeah.
It's up there. It's good. It's great. There.
Okay, I'll mark it. I don't know where I put the chalk anymore, so I'll put it on the list.
Chalk.
It's been a minute since the last perfect was Everything, Everywhere,
All at
Once.
You don't have any cheesy Anakin lines, you know?
There really isn't.
Crying.
No, he's got a very good point. There's none of that like campy Star Wars. He said it. It's adult Star Wars. It's violent. They start the show in a whorehouse. The first scene is in a whorehouse.
Yeah,
well, there. Sorry, I shouldn't
doesn't
say
that
whorehouse.
Lead
that's
into
it.
Our erotica story?
Oh, well, it perfectly does.
It's a pleasure den.
Well, right before we get there,
that's what we call the studio.
Yeah.
The
pleasure den. Welcome to the pleasure den. I'm your host. I
Johnny will, Pleasure.
Johnny Pleasure. Thanks. Thank you. Okay, so 10 out of 10 for Andor, 8 out of 10 for Black Adam. Jimmy, you went and ended a triplicate for yourself.
I saw Halloween Ends, and boy, did it.
Did it end well?
Well, Michael, I think it's a bold statement to call it Halloween Ends. I really do think it is a bold statement because, as we know, horror tends to do these kind of things and then continue on with 13 movies afterwards. My favorite example being Final Destination with Final Destination 1, Final Destination 2, Final Destination 3, The Final Destination, and Final Destination 5. So
there's no finality in that
there's
series.
No ends. There is no ends to this.
Jimmy, maybe that sounded like there was like 8 Final Destination movies and not 5.
They're remaking it. They're doing another one.
The irony is in the title. It says final.
Exactly. And they keep making.
Well, you know how they get over that, right, Jimmy? They reboot the series.
They reboot.
So
it's a
just
requel.
Like, oh, it's not this original thing. It's a reboot.
That's right.
Or they
run out of ideas.
That's
to
exactly
do.
Right.
Or they stick with the idea that, this is everybody in the story's final destination, and they just repeat different final destinations for people. Maybe that's their way. I'm digging a little deep for that. Yeah.
Jimmy, Halloween. Yeah. Let's go.
Halloween Ends is a nice little cap off to this fun little trilogy that I didn't even expect to get a trilogy.
David Gordon Green's your boy.
After the Danny McBride, too. I think after the first one, I didn't think they were ever going to get a sequel, and then they did, and the sequel absolutely surpassed the first one, and this one is a nice tie together, but I don't think it beats number two in this
so it's
particular
the Empire.
Trilogy. Yeah, exactly. I think it's a nice way to end it. They introduce a new character, and they introduce a lot of new themes.
Does Michael have a brother?
No, not quite. But you're not far off also.
Oh,
he has a cousin.
It's like twice removed.
Not related, but... I think it's a nice little cap together. I think the violence is nice. I think, again, man, it's just a good capper. They did a great job ending this trilogy. I give it a solid 7 out of 10. But you're right. It's Empire.
I heard it made like $54 million last weekend. Like opening
Everybody
weekend,
went to see it.
Everybody went to see it. And $54 million, I'm going to guess in my limited knowledge, out of maybe $70, $80 million budget.
Theater was full when we went.
Like, maybe even made its budget back opening weekend. Like, it has such a cult following. And because it's so interesting, because everybody made all the other Halloweens and they went off in a direction that a lot of people
way
are like,
off.
Three's great, 10's great, 7's the worst, right? Like, everybody has an opinion. It's so funny to see how many people really wanted to see one pick up again and go proper.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you just don't think that there's a following from a 70s horror movie still lingering around in the world, but clearly there is.
It's well, Halloween. People want to watch a scary movie, they're going to see Halloween.
Well, it's a major like.
That's my thing.
Checkmark in October.
I wasn't old enough to go see the original movies when they were in theaters, and this is the closest I'll ever get. So of course I'm going to go see them.
Of course, yeah. It's your experience. Yeah. 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 what? Final Girls. How's Jamie Lee?
Jamie Lee's amazing, as always.
7 out of 10 knives.
It's truly a sad movie. Like, it makes you...
Is it horror plus? Is there a little bit more to it?
I think
than...
so. It gives you a lot deeper themes than you think are going to be in this kind of movie. In a movie that should have just been a slasher and could have just been a slasher.
Sure. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think there's anything else that we want to... No? Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah. I'm good. I got a very limited week.
So you still have time. I think it's still going to be in theaters for a while. Go see it in October.
That'll have a 45-day run, I'm pretty sure. Like, because 30 days
you're
going to want to
see it before snow hits the ground.
What? Why is that?
Well, because it's not a winter movie.
Yeah, it feels weird to watch a horror movie.
It's a spooky.
It's a spooky.
Yeah.
Los Spookies.
That's right.
You ever watch that show?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I just like the title. Los Spookies. It's like...
It's on Prime.
Yeah, it is on Prime. All right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, which means that we are right on time. We're early. I like it. This is like being early to the movies. You get to watch all the bullshit before it starts. So with that being said, let's cue the debate.
At my signal, unleash hell. Push it. Don't push it. I'll give you a war you won't believe.
Goldstein,
give me a fat beat to beat my body chest.
I know what kind of guy you were. I never would have agreed to work with you.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
What was that?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch you. Would you repeat it?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
So, as Jimmy said, we are making an attempt at erotica. I don't think we actually confirmed if it's like a movie or a book or a graphic novel.
Whatever.
Like,
what? It's fan fiction. It's not anything until someone chooses to make it.
Okay, so fan fiction, like this is a pitch that could be a novel. This is a pitch.
Someone
that could
hear this someday and create it for us.
I hope not.
It might happen.
I mean, I just want to get paid. That would be...
I think it's going to be very reminiscent of when we made soap operas, possibly less horny somehow.
Yeah, which is surprising because soap operas are full of horniness.
Yep.
Like fucking...
I don't remember what we did for soap operas, but yeah, that was a
that's
fun
right.
one.
Yeah, that was... That's an off-the-rails episode, ladies and gentlemen, just like today, I think.
That's
so,
right.
Jimmy, because you picked this...
You want me to go first?
I'd love it if you went first, just to help me warm up here.
Okay, so I guess I'll start by introducing who I've chosen for each of these.
Yeah, yeah.
So the villain I've chose... Pinhead from Hellraiser. The horniest of all the horror villains. A man who seeks pleasure from pain.
Very, very true, yeah.
The perfect choice.
The original S&M.
And now this might be controversial, but my hero is Christine the car. Only kills annoying people.
Exactly.
So I think hero. And our location, what more perfect location than the makeout point from the movie Zodiac?
Oh, man, so many people have been stabbed there.
A lot of teens are dead, but I think this is the right team to start the, or what is it, solve this crime.
Okay.
Yeah, so I my story is going to be Hellraiser and Christine have met on a dating app. And Christine goes to pick up Pinhead and they drive to
makeout
point. Where the Zodiac killer also is. They see the murder happen, but they can't react in time because they're so busy getting to know each other, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Now, the reason Pinhead is on this date is because Pinhead has advanced past the point where pain is pleasure. It's not enough now.
I think me and Martin have talked about this where we're like, we're too worried if you get too deep in a kink, you can't get out.
Watch, well, listen to my act. Listen to my stand-up act. It's all about this.
It's not going to be enough.
Right.
Eventually, Pinhead's going to get to the point where pain isn't enough. So where do you go from there? You circle back to love. So I think Pinhead is looking for a genuine connection, and
really?
Where else to do that but dating apps?
That's what he has in his profile, looking for a genuine connection.
That's
he's
right.
Seen that on millions of dates.
That's right. And I mean, Christine's been on other dates with cars before, but I feel like Christine is trying to branch out. Christine went on a date with Kit from Knight Rider. A little too posh for Christine, a little too full of himself.
A little too high tech.
And, you know, it was the same problem when Christine went out with Lightning McQueen before that. They just aren't compatible. So Christine's like, you know what? I'm done with cars. I'm done with male cars. I'm going to move on. I'm going past that. I need to find someone else. And who else but Pinhead? What an interesting... I'm going to branch out. I'm going to find someone who's a little different.
Has
someone
limbs.
Someone who's edgy.
Limbs over rims.
That's right. Someone who's a little... Someone who's a little dangerous, you know? So they really hit it off, naturally. They naturally start hitting it off, and they like each other.
Sure.
And just as they're about to get down to business, they hear two gunshots.
Uh-oh.
And just before they can do anything, the Zodiac Killer's gone. And now they feel invested in this crime. So basically, the erotica turns into the movie Zodiac. But instead of Robert Downey Jr. and Jake Gyllenhaal, we have Pinhead and Christine the Car.
On the chase.
And it's basically the exact same movie from there on out.
I get it.
So if you could... And that movie was pretty sexual, I think.
Christine?
No.
Hellraiser.
Zodiac.
Zodiac? Sorry, I'm just playing catch up here. Where was it sexual? I've seen that movie like a ton of times.
Have you seen the bar scene between RDJ and Jake Gyllenhaal where they're
drinking the Aqua Velvas?
That's right. Imagine that scene with Christine and Pinhead.
Well, they'd be drunk and like she'd be.
That's right.
I could see Christine being like, poke me with your pins.
So right?
Give me some motor oil.
This is an erotic fan fiction. It's an erotic fan fiction of not only Zodiac, but Christine and Pit and Hellraiser.
I dig how you used the location and brought the.
That's right. So picture Christine. Pinhead at the bar drinking, what are they, sorry, blue
Aqua Velvas.
That's right. And they're fantastic if you just give them a try. They get drunk at the bar, and instead of going their separate ways and trying to solve the crime there, they hook up right in the bar.
Nice.
Ooh.
Not caring who's looking, right? And it's it's late. You know, they have their own booth, a few drinks deep.
How does the car fit in the car?
I'm lost there too, man. I'm thinking if this was done in the handicap stall, it would be fucking amazing.
Uh-huh.
But a booth, okay.
What handicap stalls are you going to, Mike? You're not supposed to go in there.
The ones with the holes in them, bud. Aren't those? Isn't that where you go? Nah, whatever.
So naturally, this ends with them maybe finding out who did it, but also
finding
we don't know.
Okay.
But they found each other, and that's what matters.
They found love. It's all that matters.
I love how... Like in your dating app, it should have been like, I've been known for looking for pain, now looking for love.
Well, I imagine Christine like just revs her tires all over what Pinhead would call his crotch.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Pain from pleasure, that's pretty close. And I think that's a pain that you cannot receive from people.
What is it they call that move when you kick someone in the crotch, the gas pedal?
That's right.
Yes. Oh, that plays perfectly.
Do you think Pinhead's tried that? I don't think so.
I'm sure that's, but okay, let's think about that for a second and unpack it. Like, what could Christine do to Pinhead that we know from Pinhead that he would appreciate sexually, and what would Christine appreciate?
Mostly just runs people over.
Right?
Yeah.
So she's got to have some sort of, like, dominance.
It's deeper than that.
Well, Pinhead is the masochist, and Christine is a sadist. that's their role in the...
He's not wrong.
Bondage world, right?
He's not wrong.
There's different roles, and that's the role.
And if you're going to tell me someone's not going to hear
this, one's
the
giver, one's the receiver.
That's right.
I mean, I would take a crack at a short story.
Pinhead is more than happy to give, by the way.
Well, yeah, that's giving pain from Pinhead. Pinhead giving pain is how Pinhead get pleasure.
That's right. Is how Pinhead get pleasure.
That wasn't even a sentence.
Is that what Pinhead says?
Me say Pinhead.
What kind of weed is that, Mike? Jesus Christ, is that a new strain?
Me no Pinhead. Oh shit, that's funny. Okay, Martin, you go for. Are you
fuck
done? You got more. You got more.
That's what the weed is called.
If you guys,
the weed's called fuck preposition. Sorry.
If you guys have any notes, that'd be great.
Martin, you go first.
I'd love to.
I was looking for something with motor oil. Yeah. Especially with motor oil with lube, and you didn't mention it. That was my only thing. But other than that, great take.
Well,
I can imagine
that maybe Pinhead and Christine are getting
too late.
Well, hold on.
Let them rebuttal.
Doesn't count. I'll listen to it, but it doesn't count. With
original presentation, not on.
Maybe they get close to the Zodiac, and maybe Christine catches a stray bullet, starts leaking motor oil, and Pinhead's like, "Well, this is the horniest I've been."
Yeah,
and really takes advantage.
I mean,
you could have gone
with everything. You could have lubrication. You could have gone with wet. Moist.
That's the best part about fan fiction, Martin. I can take extras. People can comment. People can be like, "This is where I think the story should go." And
that's
they're not.
Good job, though.
Nobody's
wrong. I like the characters of Pinhead and Christine the Car.
Nobody's ever wrong with fan fiction.
No, it's good. I just wanted a little bit more motor oil. That's all.
Next time.
Big fan of lube. Big fan of lube.
I could write a second one.
Big fan of lube.
Stop.
Big fan of lube.
I'm getting a little tight. So
Zodiac
just,
2. If you... I call it, I forgot to say my title, but I call it Horny Are the Damned.
And when you do a sequel, like a follow-up, be like Horny Are the Damned, the oil change.
Yep.
Or horny, oh. Right? Like get into the transmission flush.
I know.
Right? Cause then I'm imagining cheap, because mine is like cheap Kmart impulse buy lane stuff, right?
Okay.
So I'm imagining like a Danielle Steele book that you've made where the cover is like Pinhead, like George Costanzaing on the,
on
with
the
hood
of
the
car.
Car.
Yeah, very white snake. very white snake.
I dig it. I like the inanimate object thing. I saw an episode of Nip/Tuck once where a guy fucked
Who's the inanimate object?
Yes. For all intents and purposes, for the film, yes, Christine is an object with a personality. So
that's Christine is more than an object, Michael.
I'm sorry to diminish your car.
Stop objectifying. I'm not the one who came up with the idea to fuck the car.
This
is exactly why she left Kit and Lightning McQueen. This is exactly why.
I would have loved...
Men like you. Male cars like you.
I love the backstory of the relationship with other cars.
Yeah.
I would have loved like a fucking Chuck from the Batmobile. or
maybe the Mystery Machine.
The Mystery Machine, the Ghost, like the
She's
Echo
not
One.
Into vans.
Right, not
She's
into
not into vans.
But how about old hearses, maybe?
Too wide. Too long.
Like
she's,
skinny.
She's built for speed, not for comfort.
That's right.
Like some skinny like a pin. I got
That's
it.
That's right.
Okay. All right. But yeah, no, I like it's fun. It's sexy. I get it.
She tried hooking up with Hal. It just didn't work.
What about Herbie the Love Bug?
Yeah, no. Just didn't work.
Just too many cars.
Yeah, he was nice, just too short. He had a small man complex.
Okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah, the Beetle.
Yeah,
you know, smallest of the breeds of cars.
Wasn't it?
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Round one. I'll go first or second, I should say. yeah, that's a fun new strain.
The
I'm trying.
I'll go first. I mean last. I mean second.
Okay, so
I go first now.
I did. I took an idea from a very popular novel that was turned into a film, just like how you said with Twilight, Jimmy.
A novella.
I took 50 Shades of Grey, and my place is the Overlook Hotel.
Ooh, sexy.
Okay. Lots of room for activities, Michael. I like that pick.
Tons of room. Long hallways. People you don't know are in certain rooms.
Dog fucking.
Right. And like Jimmy had said to me the other day, he's like, people are always fucking there to begin with. Yep. So I figured it's practically like getting away to like a love palace. Like,
I mean, it's a hotel. All the porn I've seen is all in hotel rooms. So, I mean, there's lots of fucking semen everywhere.
So,
right?
So the place is the Overlook. The heroine in this story is Sydney. From
Sydney Barnes?
Sydney.
Bold choice going with real people.
Sydney from accounting.
No, I know. That's why there's a part in my premise here. So Sydney, what's Sydney's last name from Scream?
Barnes,
Prescott.
Right? Is it Barnes?
Prescott, thank you. Sydney Prescott.
Oh, Prescott.
And Ghostface in theory. Ghostface is the
killer.
Bad guy. Ghostface killer. Okay. Not Wu-Tang, but like Ghostface from the film. So okay. and I've. Maybe you'll catch it, maybe you won't. So then Sydney, here's my pitch. Sydney, though, built tough by the history of her issues with ghost faces, come to the conclusion in therapy that she's missing something. Something inside of her is, like, just there's this urge that she needs. And what it is having gone through so many years of abuse and pain, she doesn't know how to be treated any other way. She's finding out that there's this inner S&M inside of her that she's willing to experiment with. But because it comes at the hands of one of the most gruesome killers in horror film history, how do we get there? How do we actually have Ghostface? Well, this is pre-reboot.
Pre-boot.
Pre-boot. So Dewey is still alive. So Dewey is my good guy.
Okay.
With Sid, Ghostface is the bad guy. Overlook is the place. Now, though Sydney finds out that she's got this weird sexual urge going on, she doesn't feel safe doing this with anyone else. She wants to have a consensual... somewhat like adventurous lovemaking weekend to find out who she is. Who does she trust? Dewey's the only one who's left. So they buy themselves a Ghostface killer setup and they go check in at the Overlook Hotel and trade places, putting on the outfit for their sexy weekend. Okay.
You're going to jail.
Both of them have experienced PTSD at the hands of Ghostface. So to get over it, to get past it, to find out what's driving them so much, Dewey's willing to go on this sexual romp with Sydney. So that Sydney can get over her shit and maybe find out what, like, she likes pressure. She likes pain. She likes punishment. Now it's weird. All consented because it's between her and Dewey. I just want to say that right now. Okay.
good grab.
So I've got a couple scenes here for you. So the first day they get there, Dewey dresses up in costume for the first time as he enters their suite of the Overlook Hotel, nervous and shaking at the chance to make love with his friend for the first time. They lock eyes through the mask. On the bed, we find rope, stockings, and a copy of the book that was written about the killings. As Dewey slowly walks in, Sydney jumps him from behind, throws him on the bed. I have Gail's book there.
Oh, my God.
These people are damaged, okay? Dewey picks up the book and slowly starts reading passages from it to entice Sid into throwing her clothes in every direction. Finally, they're alone, able to discover who they are as lovers. The morning after, second scene. After chasing Sid around their room in his ghost face costume to get the juices flowing, they take a walk around the grounds to get used to their love palace for the weekend. They find themselves in a hallway watching some elevator doors open, which leads to a giant,
very sexual imagery,
which leads to a giant waterfall of blood pouring into the hallway. Not one to shy away from their new adventure, Sid pulls at Dewey's pants and drops to the ground to get the officer to stand at attention. I'm sorry. As the blood rushes out the hallway, they both drop to the ground as Dewey climbs on top of Sid, pulls out the mask and the rope, and they go at it like rabbits in warm blood that covers their sweaty, heart racing bodies.
I think this is an appropriate time to tell you, Michael, I am actually a police officer, and you're going to jail. I've been undercover. This is my... Chris Hansen is outside.
Can I just say that was the most sexual out of... That's going to be the most sexual one. That's going to be the horniest
Michael's
one.
Michael's was the horniest,
If there's an award for horniest, Michael wins this week for horniest.
I think so. We'll put up a new board for that.
horniest debater,
so
Michael Petro.
The reason I picked Sid and Dewey was because it makes sense that if they're going to experience these new damages that have created these new urges, it's best to do it together. How do we wrap Ghostface in? Like I said, they wear the Ghostface costume because Ghostface can be anybody. We've learned that throughout the series. It's not the same person. So when you killed off her boyfriend in the first one with his buddy, we got a new Ghostface in the sequel, a new Ghostface in the third, right? So now they can be Ghostface.
I don't know if I want to say out loud that I like this. I'll say I wish you would have added the naked lady in the tub.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
My point for the Overlook was that the naked lady in the tub's already there, so it sets the scene for some really weird fucking shit. Like, if they went to check into, a Holiday Inn,
the possibilities are there.
Right? Like, it's already a non-judgmental environment.
And isn't that what a good erotica does? It lets your mind wander.
Yeah. So could they go into the room with the old lady in the shower? Could they find the guy in the rabbit suit getting a blowjob? Like, of course they can.
Dog suit.
They're there to experience their passions and pleasures while others are having theirs explored around them.
Interesting locale.
Yeah.
Is this in the off-season of the hotel?
It is, yeah.
So it's just them too.
Yeah, it's just them
too. No, Jack and his family are also there.
Well, I guess so, yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah. I thought about...
Scatman Carruthers.
Red Rob. Look at their fucking Red Rob. So, yeah, that's my pitch.
Good old Danny. Good old Doc. The Doc's there too, hanging out.
Yep.
Martin, any notes?
No.
I'll give you... It definitely was the most... sexual, and it's going to be even with it's the most sexual out of all the ones today. I'll give you that.
Agreed.
Really good job saying consensual because I was a little worried there for a second.
Yeah. Agreed.
I had questions. Is it like wasn't Dewey hooking up with Courtney Cox's character? Is that who it was?
Yes, but I believe in my fan fiction that they were on a break.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
They were
on a
break.
There you go. You get it. Yeah.
Why are they hooking up? I thought they were. Those two were happy together.
You're right. But
as the power couple of Scream.
In the reboot, though, when we find out where everybody's been, they weren't together at the time.
You said this was pre-boot.
It is pre-boot, but we find out in the reboot that they weren't together. So I'm taking what we know in the pre-boot and applying it to the originals, which means they eventually weren't together after the filming.
All also, this is at the start of the book.
It's all exposition.
just like at the very beginning of the Zodiac. That's yeah, what happens.
Just right. Pages and pages of this has already happened.
When does the movie start?
This is all prologue. This is everything's just prologue.
There's like until a the Star actual Wars like scroll.
The yeah. Shining, the Shining happens, and it's like, oh, this is the prologue of the Shining.
The Star Wars scroll. It's like 7 minutes long.
It's a lot of backstory.
Oh my god, when does it start? Okay, all right, Martin.
One thing too, I don't know. It's not really a criticism or a comment. It's just a comment. But when you were saying like when Sydney was reflecting on her appetites, as you were calling it,
yeah.
When that self reflection, I just thought of like a Chicago song playing while she was doing that.
Cabaret.
You know? No, Chicago, the band Chicago, not the musical Chicago. Jesus, the 80s band from, you know, the 80s
sorry.
Band.
Yes, now I know what you're talking
did
about.
The Karate Kid soundtrack. Part two.
I'd listen to the Karate Kid with the Chicago musical soundtrack.
Let's do it right now, after the show. Jimmy, any notes?
No, man, that was fantastic. I think I got all mine out.
Yeah?
Thank you for using prepositions.
You're welcome. I full sentences. Here I go for the rest of the show. Martin, gentlemen, close this out, buddy. What do you got? Let's broaden
our minds. Okay, so I picked for my hero, Ash from the Evil Dead series.
Yeah,
and my
groovy.
Villain,
groovy.
My villain is Ash's hand from the Evil Dead.
Oh, no.
And he loses. So
that's two, right?
Here's my little spiel for you guys. So Sam Raimi wants to ride that Doctor Strange goodness and wants to do a new Evil Dead movie.
Yay.
And he's like, well, where should I do it? And then he's like, well, why don't we take, because it's cheap to film there, why don't we film it in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which has been featured in a bunch of horror movies. So why not put Winnipeg on the map and use the actual city of Winnipeg, Manitoba as my my location? I wasn't sure if I might get disqualified because it's not
no. It's your location because of the fact that you know that like Chucky's have been filmed here multiple. Yeah. Dark Harvest is coming out. That's a horror movie.
I think it works.
It works.
Yeah. Okay. So I was gonna do it during wintertime and call it Ash versus the Army of Whiteness, but I was like, you know what? That's a little. I don't want to get canceled. So I'm gonna call it Ash versus the Evil Deadening.
Sure.
Is what I'm calling it. So here in the plot of the story and why Ash is there, Winnipeg is finally getting two new S-Marts, one at the Polo Park location and one at Portage Place. Because what we you got to fill that up. It's just you get some room.
You got to shop
S-Mart there. So you know what? When you shop smart, shop S-Mart, Winnipeg. So Ash is now the official spokesperson for S-Mart. And the first scene has him, you know, leaving the Fort Garry Hotel in the limousine, heading down to the Polo Park opening.
Naturally, yeah.
And here's where the way, you know, when the Evil Dead, when that wind picks up and there's like a lot of like when the Evil Dead spirit comes.
Yeah.
So the wind picks up and while he's doing his speech, lightning strikes a power line, crushes his limo. Ash now has to take the bus back to the Fort Garry Hotel, which is, by the way, 30 minutes late. So they have a 30 minutes later going because the bus is late. And he's on the bus, right? And he looks at the bus driver on the, you know, that big mirror that the bus drivers have. So Ash makes eye contact with the bus driver. It looks like normal. And then he looks back at the mirror again, but it looks like a deadite. And then he wakes up all of a sudden from it. He thinks it's a dream, but he wakes up, you know, screaming and finds out that the bus is broken down. Just like Winnipeg, buses break down. So now he has to walk back to the Fort Garry Hotel from like Portage, I guess, let's say Furby. Which is not a fun walk. It's a scary walk on its own.
I live there.
It's nighttime.
That's exactly my area, you dick.
It's nighttime. It's a scary area. He has to walk back, and he thinks he's being followed.
By me?
By a deadite.
I'm just
by
going
deadite
home.
Jimmy Skinner. Deadite Jimmy Skinner. So he runs into the unopened S-Mart at Portage Place. Picks up his trusty boomstick and has to, basically, this is where all the deadites come in. He has to battle a bunch of them. Finally, he reaches the Fort Garry Hotel. And then when he reaches it, he can hear the moonlights. You know that Moonlight Sonata song? That
yeah,
scary kind of creeps. Hears that playing from the Palm Lounge, goes to the Palm Lounge, and but there's no piano player. So he goes, and all he sees is the hand, his hand, resurrected by the Necronomicon, playing the Moonlight Sonata. And the hand has a mouth now and can talk, and is played by Seth Green, or voiced by Seth Green, because why not?
From Idle Hands. I like that.
From Idle Hands, exactly. Oh. So they battle it out. They're battling it out. It's a big fight scene. And at the, you know, they get tired, both try to take a breather, and they're like, you know what? They both kind of come to our understanding. We're both tired of fighting, you know? We didn't do this. The Necronomicon's a dick. It's doing this to us. We don't want to fight anymore. So basically, you know, they say they're going to have a truce, and how they're going to seal their truce? By going butt to butt. And you're wondering, well, where is the butt on a palm? And it's at the bottom of a palm. If you can put your palm like this, you can see that there's a, it's like a butt shape. So that palm goes to his butt, right? Lovely. And they go butt to butt. And that's what happens. So, and then the big ending, the big the movie,
oh, we're not
ends
there yet?
At the, no, the movie ends at the Fort Garry Hotel ballroom scene, with a ballroom up there, yeah. The big ballroom.
Yep, yep.
And it's like a wedding, so the wedding's kind of half human, half dead. In the hand,
I
and
love that.
Ash go up there. They tell them to stop, and everyone like they say, no, let's not fight. Everyone, let's just go butt to butt. So you got humans and Jedi just going butt to butt on the dance floor, which is super cool. And then the ending montage scene is like a Soul Train line, right? But then there's, it also features like local Winnipeg celebrities like John Youngberg and Dancing Gabe going butt to butt, right? Right, and then like you have Mayor Bowman and local podcast celebrity Michael Petro going butt to butt.
Wow.
I mean,
everyone
I'll
going butt
once.
To butt because it's sexy and it feels good. And the only thing sexier than going butt to butt is consent. That is my movie.
That's something you
pitch.
Can take home. Yeah.
It's
Martin. I love it. I love the wedding scene with half. Are you here for the bride or the groom? And it's like a deadite and they have to direct him one way. It just sounds like it was written by Tina Belcher.
That's what I went for my inspiration. I was like, well, how would Tina Belcher write this movie? And I was like, oh,
let's
well,
go butt to butt.
And you know what? Fun for the whole family because it's not really sexual. It's just butt to butt. That's
my other
bad.
Qualm. Could have been sexier, I think. Could have been
not with
sexier.
Tina, not for the, if you wanted to include the whole family, but
not,
I get it.
Not a hand sexier. Job to be found.
No, yeah, nothing.
Not a mouth. Not a.
That's why we're trying to go for a wider audience.
You're trying to go for like a world record butt to butt.
Yeah, butt to butt. But the whole thing is butt to butt. That's there's no nothing sexual except butt to butt in this movie.
What in the butt?
Yeah, just butt to butt. That's it.
Jimmy, you want to go first on notes? You want me to go first?
No, those were my only notes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, great.
I love the build up. I love like your edging.
Edging it to go. Like, where's
it going? Well, no, but like it was like, where is this going? Because it's all this weird shit happening. It's very film noir, right? Like the broken down bus, the dream sequence, like all of that. And then all of a sudden it just takes this hard right turn to butt to butt.
Yeah, no,
you're just like, no, this is exactly what I want you to see. Like I'm not fucking around here. It's very Requiem for a Dream. It's very Darren Aronofsky.
Featuring Michael Petro with his first film credit.
Hey man, whatever it takes to get a CV, I'll. I'm not. I've eaten some weird shit.
They just show your ass.
My credit, Michael Petro, and it's my butthole.
Michael Petro's asshole as itself.
I mean, I did vote for him, so like,
went butt to butt with Mayor Bowman.
Wouldn't be, you know,
butt
like,
to butt.
I mean, as he's leaving office, maybe that could. Launch our podcast a little bit more and, you know, get our name trending more.
Bring
out there.
Back Beach with Butt to Butt.
Featuring Brian Bowman.
Bring Back Beach, Butt to Butt.
No, I dig the slow pace into like the all out erotica, right? In a public setting. Like,
yeah.
I'd love to walk into the palm room and be like, what's going on in the ballroom? And then go around the corner and be like, holy shit, that's a lot of butt to butt.
They're going butt to butt.
Right? And again, to listener out there, whatever you've heard today, nothing's wrong because it's fiction.
Can't be wrong.
It can't be wrong.
How can it be wrong when it feels so right?
Right? And tight. And I mean, technically, butt to a hand is a hand job.
That's right.
Right? Like whatever a hand does to you is a hand job. So you do get one hand job.
What if it just... I went butt to butt because it sounds weird. Like, who's butt to butt going sexy? I'm like, you know what? That's going to be the sexy move. Butt to butt. No one ever goes butt to butt.
You know
that's
what?
Somebody.
What in the butt? Okay. All right. I like it. I got notes in. You got notes in. We've all got all our picks in. I really liked what we did the last time where we played around the room for the first position to vote in, and then we'll go clockwise from there. So I'll pull another card, and we'll keep going around the room. Whoever doesn't get it within five seconds has to they start last, and then – or no.
So, well, if you're reading it, then should it be me and Martin, and then you're last.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. Okay. That's fair enough. All right. So with that being said – okay.
So, Martin, do you want to go first after he reads it?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, don't pick one that you know. He's like shuffling through them. Just pick one.
All right.
He picks one that he gets. Is it what do you call it, a dent in the card? He's like, this is the one I saved.
Okay, fold it. Movies with Scarlett Johansson.
Her.
So take a minute.
He said her.
He said her. Okay. All right.
Black Widow.
Black Widow. Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Avengers.
Oh shit. Shit. Oh my god. What's that stupid one? No! I can't remember what it was called. Lucy, damn it! I kept wanting to say Salt, but that's Jolie.
I was sitting here with Bad Moms ready to go. I was fuck like,
her. Oh my god, I was trying to think of the one he did with Bill. She did with Bill Murray. What was that one?
Oh, fucking... Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Lost in Translation. I was like, god damn, it's one of my favorite movies, and I forgot it.
Oh
shit.
All right, so you then go last.
Okay.
And then Martin would go first.
Doesn't that give me a lot of sway, though?
No, I go last.
You go last.
Jimmy
yeah.
goes first.
Jimmy goes first. I go second.
Yeah, Michael goes second. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, well.
Just vote with integrity.
Yeah, I do love a lot of butt to butt. But I know Michael did his research. That's the problem.
It did.
And
I think I gotta go butt to butt.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah.
I had no anal? Seriously.
Two?
The worst reason not to win.
I think it was two.
Mike, you're winning for most horniest. Like we're giving a special award for most horniest.
Thank you for the participation award. Thanks, guys. It's okay.
It's better than a participation award. It's the horniest award. You are the horniest debater.
I will.
Michael gets a
that.
Participation award at an orgy.
I'm holding the drink tray. Okay. All right. So then I'm second. All right. So I got to pick between
mini quiche.
Deep cut. I like that.
I'm gonna go.
I love butt to butt, but I really love how far outside the box Jimmy went with a car. I thought that because this was dangerous for me. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to offend anybody.
You guys
today.
Picking people?
Well, like I felt
picking human people.
Well,
I picked a body part. I didn't pick a real person. I picked a body part.
I should have picked the house from Monster House as my location and villain.
Amityville Horror, where every time you're getting down, mother comes in. Psycho, not Amityville. Amityville, every time you're getting down, some like weird death sentence seance starts to come on.
That's right. All the flies go in your butt.
I'm going to vote for Christine and
Horny Hillary. Be the Damned.
Yeah, Horny Be the Damned. The great lube change.
Yep.
So we got one for Christine, all one right, for butt. So, yeah, Martin.
It's going to be a three-way.
Oh, the sexiest way to do it.
Okay. As Lady Gaga says, it's okay if it's in a three-way.
Michael's the horniest.
I am. At least
Michael
I got one point
horniest.
On the board.
Horniest debater wins, and he did research, so.
Debater. I watched like a supercut of 50 Shades of Grey, and then was like, okay, put this into that. That's all I was just like.
Did you just go to MrSkin.com and watch all the sex scenes? That was it.
Yeah, Skinamax. Like, I got cable back for a day just to watch
How
porn.
Did he know?
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We got a three-way for you, which is perfect for an erotic debate.
That's right. It had to end in a three-way.
It had. It makes. It's just like.
It's okay if it's in a three-way.
Perfectly well is.
We're doing a triple Dutch rudder.
You grab your dick and do this, and I
it's
grab
not
my
gay.
Dick and do this. It's not gay. It's not gay.
It's fuck. Like the never-ending stairs. That illusion. That's what our Dutch rudder is.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You've got a weekly review. You got a little debate for you. I like these shorter episodes, and I bet listener does too. So this might become a standard going forward in 2023. As much as we can, we'll chop the fat off.
Well, we're
going
to be getting busier, so it's going to be a lot harder to make long episodes.
Martin, November 13th, with Chris Griffith. Was that his name?
Chris Griffin. Not the Chris Griffin from Family Guy. Actual Chris. Griffin.
Actual
real
Chris. Griffin.
Actual Chris Griffin. November 13th at the Clue Club.
Yes, you got it.
Did you take us there when we were there?
No, not.
Okay. I just remember that sexy place with all the extras.
It's in Gastown.
Okay.
Gastown.
All right. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Subscribe to the show. If you're a first-time listener, listen to the end credit of this if you want to support the show. We're a self-produced podcast. Nobody sponsors this yet.
Yep.
If you did want to sponsor it, though, all you got to do is reach out to me at therealdebaters@gmail.com. We're cheap. We're easy. We're controllable. Tell
That's
us what
right.
you want us to say. We'll just make you. We'll try to make you look good. I think we can make you look good.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We
so
have
if you want,
1,000 listeners monthly.
As long as we go butt to butt.
Yeah, but butt to butt for sponsors.
Butt to butt.
I have a feeling we're going to get a very slanted view of what sponsors are after this. That being said, at Real Debaters Pod, all the social media: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and follow us on TikTok if you want to see us do dumb shit or check the clips from the show. I have been sexy Sydney Prescott.
Mini Keish.
Taking a blanket.
Jimmy, who you been?
Mini Keish.
Oh, okay. And Martin.
I have been the butt of my hand. Right there. See that? That's a butt.
It's a butt. There you go, ladies
That's
and gentlemen.
That's the Real Debaters symbol.
New but. Logo. Watch it all, kids. Watch all the movies. And see you next week. Say bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Say bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Spanish ladies.